The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the College for Creative Studies in downtown Detroit, Michigan, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
As always, you are very snappily dressed today. I feel like it's out of the ordinary. Not like we see you looking like a slob all the time or anything.
I mean, I am probably the best dressed guy in my department. I don't have any marker stains. I have
really?
A charcoal on me.
Yeah. It's the color.
They laugh at me when I wear all white.
Wow. Yeah, because you do have a lot of
charcoal
action.
And there's all kinds of grit and grime all over the place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the color of your shirt, though. That's what.
Yeah, it really, it truly is aubergine.
It started off white.
Aubergine. So.
I want to hear from Professor Beth Oljar of philosophy what the office materials greatest hazard of your job is. It didn't come out the way I thought it
Staplers,
would. I'm just thinking about, well, if Dave went with a white shirt and he came out purple, I wonder what kind of office supply mishaps happen in the Department of Philosophy at UDM.
Going into class where there are whiteboards or chalk. I mean, not having whiteboard pens or erasers.
Yeah, that's true. Is Briggs a complete convert? Are we all whiteboards here? I didn't even look.
No, there's still some blackboards.
Really?
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
On the third floor.
Green boards, you mean.
Second floor,
boards,
I'm getting a signal.
Slate, you know.
Teaching logic really a dusty adventure.
No. No.
However, logic just feels kind of green to me. I don't know. That would make sense on a green board. Honestly, it would.
Now, do you guys ever get the issues with people bringing non-dry erase
pens? Oh, yes.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you of the story.
I had a friend
of
do that in graduate school.
The Department of Biology, because they got a small, very, very small upgrade, God bless them, before we had our... not really much bigger upgrade in chemistry done. They had a wealthy alum come and say, I'm going to convert you all to whiteboard. Instantly, it became clear that there need to be some sort of marker police, and poor Greg Grabowski is chair of that department, former panelist on the show, and every other day, personally, he's in there with acetone, ethyl acetate, and people are using Sharpies on the board left and right. And finally, they stopped stocking the markers because they said if we just don't leave markers, people will always have to come ask us and we'll give them the right ones. But that took several years to get around.
It's amazing, isn't it?
There's a psychological study in there somewhere.
It shouldn't take that long. I don't know. It's not the best statement on biology.
Well, I think the thing is
that
Greg
sure
is...
Or evolution. Yeah, let's just go big, right?
We found the missing link.
I think that it ends up being one of those logistic things. Greg is chair of the department. He's master of the safety of his domain. And he's also, you know, marker police, apparently, too, you know, after all is said and done. So, anyway.
Poor guy.
Thanks for your commentary, Professor Diane Manica from Education. I see the fan out. So, is it warm day today?
No, it was warm outside.
Yeah, that's true.
And I got in my car, it was even warmer.
That is true.
It's so warm.
Absolutely.
But it's nice to be here celebrating the Tigers.
Yes.
Clinching of the Central Division.
Woo-hoo. Big deal.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
We have all sorts of fantastic, super secret surprises planned for this season.
Oh.
And one of those things is that we have a guest panelist.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Let the man run the show.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Seriously.
Let the men save the world? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I'm not responsible.
Professor Prasad Venugopal from physics is here with us today and is the first sojourner on this wonderful journey we're going to have of guest panelists this season. So thanks for joining us, Prasad.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. And the last time I was here was many months ago.
Many moons.
You're setting the standard for guest panelists.
You're making it.
Meaning we want them only to come back once in
many moons.
We can't get rid of them fast enough.
Record holder for most guest panelists, Prasad with 2.
Yes. He's been banned, but it's okay.
Uh-huh. I love it. Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our UDM t-shirt prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we left our heroes, we were finishing up a wonderful little hodgepodge from Kimberly Richards of Van Nuys, California, a very, very long-time listener. As a matter of fact, Prasad, just to catch you up, she said, thanks to the ever-loyal Michael Jason, you guys will get 4 new sets of questions this year. And it's the first time she started listening to us again ever since Kathy Bush's untimely passing, which coincided with her mother's own passing. So this is a long-time listener, long-time listener. We had left with who had appeared on The Tonight Show the most times, who also wasn't a host of The Tonight Show. With 132 appearances, it was Bob Hope. Someone had thrown it out right in the final seconds of our last show. Okay. So that makes sense to me. A couple more on Kimberly's list. Which television newscaster had the longest on-camera career from 1943 to 1997?
David Brinkley.
It was Brinkley. It was actually David Brinkley. All the way through. All the way through. I think that we think about the beat reporters or the in-the-muck reporters not really being on-air personalities. Like, Brinkley was talking head, I think, from almost day one. What significance does the date July 1st, 1941 have in TV history?
We could afford one.
Not the first broadcast.
Color? First color?
No, no.
41, no, actually. That's, first television set sold?
No, not first TV set. You guys are all sort of in the right wheelhouse.
What, like ABC aired or something like that?
You're getting more NBC? In the wheelhouse. No, it has NBC. To do with CBS and NBC, because they would have been doing what previously?
News.
News. Evening news.
News and radio. Mm-hmm. So on July 1st, 1941... they were allowed by the FCC, which I'm sure our physics professor would be happy to tell us controls the electromagnetic spectrum within the bounds of the United States of America. They were allowed to take their parts of that spectrum and use them commercially.
It controls most of it.
Yeah, most of it.
Some sections of it are actually controlled by the DOD.
By the Department of Defense. Yep. That is true. That is true.
You know, they're trustworthy.
But if you can think about something as abstract as there are these parts of light that we know about, and we're going to allow you to make money off of them. That's what happened on July 1st, 1941.
Wow.
Pretty weird stuff. What was the first video played on MTV 1 August 1981?
Video killed the radio star.
What was the 1 millionth video played on MTV February 27th, 2000?
Same one.
The exact same video.
Yes, we had this question
the same
before.
Question. That's a good question. I like that trivia.
It's a terrible song.
What, you don't like the song?
Not particularly.
I don't know. I loved it.
It doesn't really have a lot of salience anymore.
Of course, I heard it when I was in India, but...
it's okay.
I don't know that would make a difference.
It's just, we didn't hear too many... we didn't get to see too many videos in India, so
We don't get to see too many videos on MTV now, so...
No kidding.
That's true. Yeah.
That is... well, that is absolutely true. So, we also have another little surprise planned for our listeners this season.
A car giveaway, right?
Not just guest panelists, but also guest host. So, to kick off this process, we've asked our colleagues to think of questions in their area of expertise that would not be completely impossible for us to respond to.
Multiple choice.
Right. Multiple choice is always appreciated. And if you can narrow it down to just 2 or 3 choices, that's also a positive.
True or false?
We will allow those people to ask questions. I know, Dave, you're in the process of putting some together. Beth, Dan Maggio, who unfortunately panel is ill today, won't be able to join us, has put together some funny math puns and what have you. I figured the most logical person to be our first guest panelist would be me. So I looked up, that's supposed to be a joke.
You mean guest host.
Yeah, exactly. Guest host. Now I'm the guest panelist and the guest host. Is to look up some crazy units of measure and see if you knew what they were used for. Okay? So let's start one.
I hate you and everything.
Why am I sitting between the both of you guys then? I'm in the line of fire.
Oh, these are not going to be good.
That's why you wore an aubergine.
Yeah, right. It'll hide the blood, right?
What do you guys think about...
I should be wearing brown pants too, right?
What do you guys think about a light nanosecond? What do you think that measures?
Light. Time, isn't
speed
it?
Speed of light. Yeah. No.
I'd measure, it's about 1 foot.
Yeah, it's a foot, it's a basically. Foot. It's the distance that light travels in a nanosecond is about 1 foot.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yep. And so a light year.
I'm out of here.
Nice knowing you.
So it's the distance of light, but I was close.
No, you were very close. What is, in terms of length, a horse used for? Don't answer the question, what's a horse used for? Tell me, in terms of length.
Measure racetracks.
Yeah. Racetracks, that's exactly right. The subunits, which are accepted by the governing body, is neck, head, and nose, which they use to determine who wins a race.
Mm-hmm. One by neck. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
One by a small foal, absolutely. One by a colt. Now, a Shetland.
I brought a lot
good
of
thing
these,
they don't run those races backwards.
So. Yeah.
Oh, I won by a... Oh, let's not go there.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Let's not go there. It would not be good.
Oh, boy. Now you know why you're only here every few months.
That's right. Clearly.
So I want to make sure that I bring up this little ditty here because I think you'll get a kick out of it. In the Wikipedia entry, which there is a Wikipedia entry, odd units of measure, just letting you know, it was very helpful in putting these questions mm-hmm. together. They bring up the fact that it is a European tradition primarily to look at objects around you and say, that's about one Dian tall. And it's not really that prevalent in America except for what? Which we use all the time to describe area or length.
Foot.
Not just a foot. Oh. Foot is sort of an obvious okay. ancient one. But
a
we
block.
Cubic?
A block.
A block is getting in the
how
right zone.
How about a yay? It's a yay long.
A smidge.
A yay long. Actually.
Almost always we hear about things being measured in football fields, right? We're like, yeah. Oh, that building is 10 football
oh,
fields
right.
tall.
What, hail?
Basically, that's...
Hailstones.
Yeah. Well, we could say...
Or, no, golf
sure.
balls.
Sure. Golf balls. Yeah. So what's interesting about this is there's even a... I'm going to prove to you that there's actually an image in the entry... That in the beginning, when the Empire State Building was first built, the Empire State Building became a unit of measure equal to how tall it was. And the cut line on this photograph is, the Empire State Building is one Empire State Building tall. I thought that was pretty revealing.
Boy, I think that took a lot of observations.
That's necessarily true.
Yep. Strictly speaking, it should have been
1.0
Empire State Building.
Yes. 1.0, yeah.
1.0.
What do you guys think a nano acre is used to measure?
The size of a printed circuit board.
A printed circuit board or yeah. a microchip is what yeah. it's used mm-hmm. to be. Something, and of course, yeah. it's one times 10 to the minus 9.
Yes, at least,
can we keep them?
I think we ought to. I think every 2 months
let's
now.
Keep them.
Tryout's over.
Let's continue with our equine side notes here and tell me what a pony is used to measure.
Kegs. Beer.
Yeah, it's liquor.
Oh,
absolutely.
Liquor.
Hey, nice.
A pony is actually equal to three quarters of a shot. Three quarters of a shot. How about a cord?
Wood.
Yeah, that's right. And it is not to those be confused with a rick, which is one-third of a cord.
Ooh. Oh.
There you go. Named after some dude, I'm guessing. Whoever that cord guy is. What about a grave?
Ooh, grave.
Any ideas? It's a French term.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's from history.
Unit of measure in a cemetery.
Well, I think we all find that one.
Grave.
I can tell you it's derived from gravity, if that helps. It's a French term derived from gravity.
So is it
acceleration?
Falls or?
Actually, it's distance in general. It's length. It was the French.
The length, it's the distance the guillotine had to fall before.
I tell you what, you are not
you
too far.
I'm not, apparently, I'm not too far.
You are not too far from the truth because this was in 1793. The French, as in the collective peoples, suggestion for what to call the unit of measure for mass, due in no small part to the French Revolution, the very neutral kilogram was the one that ended up being used. So, yeah.
These are just wonderful, man.
They're pretty nuts.
Wow.
What is a, and I quote, fully loaded 747, unquote?
Trouble.
Big time trouble.
On the tarmac.
Yeah, not going anywhere. Correct.
Delayed in boarding.
Number of passengers?
Not the number of passengers.
A jumbo jet?
I don't think it's something to do with the cargo on a FedEx.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. 360 tons is a fully loaded 747. So that's a okay. unit of yeah. mass, if you think about wow. it that way. Yep.
We always hope it gets up. Into
sorry,
the air.
I'm pre-Galileo, so we say weight. Or we actually converted qualities into measures.
It's a whole heap and heavy.
What do you guys think a dog year is?
Your dog year. It's the
seven
amount of
years.
Yeah.
About the tattered. Well, it's 7 years, but
seven
is it?
But are you going dog E A R?
I'm calling this a dog year. What is a dog year? I know a dog ages 7 years for every human year, but what
so
would a dog year be then?
The length of time it takes a dog to age a year.
It's about
yeah.
it's about a
52 days.
I was going to say a month and a half, but mm-hmm. yeah.
A month and a half.
Yeah, you got a division.
Yeah.
Duh. I was just, you know, where's Dan Maggio?
Don't expect the art guy to know me.
Where is Dan when you need him?
Oh, my. I think Prasad will be able to get this one because it's an old... old-timey one, you know, from the 1980s.
What, you making fun of his age now?
Not at all.
I thought he was going to take a chance to make fun of my physics, but apparently my age.
The first unit used to measure a computer's computing power was called a flop. Do you remember what a flop is?
Floating point operations per second.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
So was that the forerunner of a floppy disk?
I think that they're related in some way. Also, the disc was very floppy. In general,
comparatively
it was floppy.
Speaking, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Last one, guys. This is where I promise I will take these away, and then Beth will never have to worry about them ever again. Can you tell me what the unit of the mother cow index is?
The mother.
Quart of milk. Amount of milk or butter fat or something.
You're
produced.
Pretty close. Yeah. You're pretty close. It's the number of pregnant cows that an 8 per acre, a given plot of land, could support, which is an indicator of the cattle market. So the mother cow index is a pretty big deal. And while you guys think a little bit more about that one, we're going to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Todd George is right from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Professor Kathy Bush.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Really glad. Very glad.
And on Kathy's right from the Department of History, also Professor Greg Sumner.
Hi, Edwin.
Hi, Greg.
Please pass the cool whip. The cool whip.
The cool whip. Name the headsman who bungled Monmouth's execution.
Wow. Oh, really?
Ooh, Stephen the Clumsy. Nice.
One-armed prince.
That's it, really. No, was he a French swordsman?
No, he wasn't. Not like Anne Boleyn.
Okay,
no,
so they didn't shift such a local hack.
This was a man named Jack Ketch.
Well,
K-E-T-C-H.
Don't know him.
Name the artist who painted the Duke of Monmouth's post-decapitation portrait.
I've
got to see that in the National Portrait Gallery.
I have seen that.
It is in Gainsborough.
No, it's not.
Darn.
No. Or Constable.
Really, the Scarlet Stump. He had some really horrible names.
No, they sewed it back on so that a post-mortem painting could be done.
It might have appeared in Hieronymus Bosch, but before
this is why it's suspiciously wide ascot.
No, it's no one. It's Sir Godfrey Neller, K-N-E-L-L-E-R.
Oh, yeah, Neller.
Oh, you know him.
You know that name?
Oh, yeah, Nervous Neller.
Nervous Neller.
Ever since he did that picture, he's had these bad dreams.
And we're back with the Mother Cow Index for today. No, I'm just kidding. Sounds like some sort of radio dealio.
I'd imagine that with the progressive industrialization of dairy farming, that the Mother Cow Index has changed in its measure.
I'm guessing that it has.
Yeah, how much grass has grown?
I think it's safe to say that, absolutely.
Speaking of which, have you guys heard about that one initiative in Detroit to have goats cut grass now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great idea.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I said we get goats.
They said
in.
It works when they've used it before.
We're going English countryside style.
Why not?
What other ways to say?
We've got
plenty
of countryside.
I've always contended that CCS should have like 3 bison in its front parking lot.
Because
why not?
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. Who's going to mess with one?
Reasoning is sound.
Yeah. Reasoning is sound.
They kill most of them, although they're.
We're going to preserve a few.
The
that's
States.
All.
There's a few. There's a few.
Lower in cholesterol when they're ready to be used.
Who wouldn't mess with one? If we had them in the front lot,
I wouldn't mess
they
with
say
the
you
cow.
Eat more though, Diane. You know, it's a
trade-off.
They're
bigger.
It's
they should eat more, but then they produce more.
That's right.
Exactly. Bang for the buck.
Dear profs, here's another mishmash of 20 questions that range all over the map to challenge and baffle you. My recent request of 80% passing was obliterated with my last submission, so I'll stick to the 80% benchmark with this submission. Again, sound reasoning. Thanks again for a funny and informative half hour. I'm glad we can fill your life for 30 minutes.
We're good.
Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington. Oh, my. Washington, I believe that's where Nintendo is
headquartered,
right?
Beverly, do you work for Microsoft? I'm just curious.
Yeah, or Nintendo or any of the other local tech concerns. We'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to know some secrets.
In a different way.
Oh.
We might get a clue from the questions, you think?
You know, every once in a while they pull that one on us. I've looked ahead here. I don't think that we're not going in that direction. What are the 2 states that touch the border of Florida?
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama.
Okay. Absolutely. We have our resident geography bee ready to go here.
I'm so directionally challenged.
What 1996 movie featured Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert Redford?
Oh, come on. Something about it.
Yeah, Up Close and Personal. Oh, absolutely.
The theme song by Celine Dion is like a personal thing for Drew and I.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There you go. You know it. That's awesome.
You're not going to swoon here now, are you?
No, although the movie is like totally a tearjerker.
Oh, okay.
Totally. So I just want this on the record. That video killed the radio star. Thumbs down. Celine Dion, thumbs up.
Some Celine Dion.
Some.
Okay. Yeah, just, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Phenomenal voice.
Yeah, she does have a good voice.
In a theater in Las Vegas.
Big voice. In a theater in Las Vegas. Along with, I hear from the radio the other day, Motley Crue has a Vegas show now. And I was just like, that's so sad. Hard Rockers, they have shows in Vegas now. Oh, wasn't that sad?
Hey, we better watch it. We could be doing Ask the Professor in Vegas before.
I know. Be careful.
That'd be
careful.
Okay.
We'll be opening for Blue Man Group or something like that.
Make sure I'm a guest panelist on that
that show.
Yeah.
What organ in the human body is most commonly transplanted from one human to another human?
Kidney?
Yeah. You guys hit that one straight up. Absolutely. Who hosted nearly 300 NBC TV specials but never had a regular TV series of his own? Over the course of his entire career.
Oh, he Bob Hope.
Bob
he
Hope. Hope. Yes, you guys grabbed that one as well. That's so odd. I mean, the days of the variety show were long gone by the time I was born, so I can't even imagine what those specials
what was the last
must have
one,
been like.
Was it like Carol Burnett?
They were great.
Yeah, I know. They were fantastic, right?
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
Now it's all reality.
Yeah, now
Bing
it's all
Crosby's
reality.
Christmas special was awesome.
Awesome.
Especially yeah. when he sang Little Drummer Boy with David Bowie.
Oh, this is the best.
Wow.
I love it.
Great.
Not so cool, beating your children. We'll talk about that.
Oh, whoops. I had a little trouble with praising him.
With other things.
Yeah, that's why he never did a Father's Day special.
I like that joke. I like that joke a lot. What did John Lennon do in 1966 that caused public burnings of Beatles records and memorabilia?
Beth?
He said that at the time, the Beatles were more popular than Jesus.
That is right. And frankly, there's a lot of measures that say they were, but probably not the thing to say out loud, as weird as it sounds. Who are the five members of the musical group The Traveling Wilburys?
George Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne.
Roy Orbison.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Orbison.
Jeff Lynne.
Harrison, Orbison, Lynne.
Who are we missing?
Dylan.
Tom Petty.
Dylan. And Tom Petty. Petty.
Yeah.
Yep.
Way to go, guys. Nice. Trying to think, what's the iconic song from the Traveling Wilburys?
Handle Me With Care.
Okay.
Handle Me With Care.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who is the first African-American female who ever won an Academy Award? An Oscar.
Hattie
McDaniels.
The actress who played Prissy in
Gone with the Wind.
Best Supporting Actress. That's right. Absolutely. Name the five United States that end with the letters I, A.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of those.
Michigania.
California.
Oh, Michigan. California.
California. California.
Yeah. Oceania.
New Jersey.
Hawaii. Yeah.
It's like putting eum on the end of everything and calling it an element. New Jersey. Yeah. I made myself laugh.
Okay, what are we? Georgia,
you got California,
California,
Pennsylvania,
Georgia,
Pennsylvania.
If Jim were here, he'd be answering.
Oh, he'd name them right. Virginia.
Virginia.
And West Virginia.
Virginia. And West Virginia.
Virginia.
There you go. Good job. I was just thinking of
Diane gets the assist.
Virginia.
Nicely done, only because there's like 2 minutes to answer that question.
Do you remember the
line? We were sandbagging.
The scene in Silence of the Lambs where she's first going to see... Clarice is first going to see Lecter, and she meets Dr. Chilton, and he's, like, trying to flirt with her, and she just looks at him, and she says, I went to the University of Virginia. It is not a charm school. Which makes me think of Jim.
He kind of talks.
Which is terrible, because he's, you know, the epitome of charming.
He is. What
and
US...
he went to UVA, so.
Yeah. Oh, and he did go to Virginia, mm-hmm. right? What U.S. state has the most farmland in square miles? That should narrow it down fairly quickly.
Texas?
Texas, yeah. Mm. I think that's pretty safe to say. Who were two billionaires? That's sort of a general question. Who were two billionaires that died in 1976?
Howard Hughes?
Mm-hmm.
And?
Absolutely.
Getty?
Getty. John Paul
nice.
Getty.
There's only so many billionaires go around back then.
I know. It seemed like a very general question. Like, well, of course there were only two billionaires that died in 1976.
The
who was it? Touchstone Studios was a 80s, 90s era offshoot of Disney for their adult fare. What was their first movie?
Princess Bride?
No, wasn't
Arachnophobia?
No.
3 Men and a Baby?
Wow, you guys are all in the wheelhouse. I like this. It's like listening to Pandora.
Oh, bringing up, what is that? Yeah, you said 3 Men and a Baby, right?
3 Men and a Baby.
No, it is a movie with a one-word title.
Cocoon?
It is Onomatopoeia. It starred Daryl Hannah.
Splash.
Splash is the name of that movie. She was the mermaid that came on shore.
Walking
or
on.
Whatever, yeah. I didn't get it at all.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Said the art professor.
Diplomatically.
I don't think that it was the first Touchstone picture is going to make me watch it anyway.
Oh, well, there you go. So what can I say?
3 Men and a Baby and Princess Bride are worth watching over
Princess
and over.
Bride, yes.
Yeah,
Splash
absolutely.
Was...
Every time I leave the house to come to school, Drew says, have fun storming
the
castle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So California became a state in 1850. At that time, what was the closest state to California? It's a fantastic geography question.
1860?
1850. If I said 60,
wouldn't it be like
I apologize.
Nevada? I mean, you
couldn't
just
be Oregon.
Working, working our way.
No. The state to
you got
to
work backwards.
You got to go.
You work backwards. What
Arizona?
Was the closest state that was already incorporated? You have to think about this. You could figure this out historically too.
New Mexico?
Where's Roy?
Not no,
New Mexico.
I think you got to go further east.
I think. It's
oh, what you mean like a Kansas?
I'm
or
going with like
Nebraska.
Yeah, no,
or
you'd probably need something that would have been around for a while by that point, right?
Yeah.
1850.
Kansas had been around for a while. Texas.
Yeah, Texas had been around for a very long time. Yeah. It was Texas.
Oh, okay.
Texas was a country. Texas was a Mexican state. And Six Flags over Texas, right? Could not make up their mind.
It can secede and be its own country.
That is true. That is true. What is the world's oldest organized collegiate sport? Played almost from the very start.
Drinking.
The Ivy Leagues.
Oh.
Correct. No. No.
Football?
It's not football. It is not American football.
Gilly Danda.
It's, I would say this is a modern sport that we still see practice. It's definitely an Olympic sport. There are people that do this down, very, very close to downtown off of Belle Isle. And it's kind of equated with sort of a preppy
field. Rowing or sculling.
It's rowing, sculling, yes, absolutely.
That's big at the University of Washington, too.
Yes.
You're right on a lake.
Because
you've
got lots of water.
My dad wrote that.
If you fall over, you go into drinking. So.
Name all five of New York City's boroughs.
Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, Staten Island.
Brooklyn.
You got them all. And just because we haven't had that question in a while, and we seem to have it at least once a season, what is the thing that makes New York City's boroughs such a big deal? Do you remember
what that is? What, five different counties?
Five different counties touching each other, all making the same city. That's right. In 1995, this musical group made over $100 million and didn't tour. Who were they? Some other time, prof. Time to say goodbye. All right.
We get it.
Time to say goodbye, Diane.
Goodbye.
Prasad.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.